Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. And our goal is to teach the Word of God, edify the saints, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, each brother rotates the speaking from week to week. And now, our message for today. It tells us there that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. And also in 1 John 3:5, it says of Christ, in Him is no sin. So He knew no sin, He committed no sin, and in Him is no sin. And this might seem like a very fundamental doctrine. This might seem like something that is very basic to anyone that's been taught fundamentally the Word of God, the basics of the Word of God. But yet, sometimes this has been brought into question, perhaps even by sincere, legitimate Christians. Sometimes they would bring up the question, it has been addressed before, saying, well, could this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, could he have the possibility of sinning, but he just didn't? Now, I say this emphatically by studying the scripture that no, he did not only not sin, but he could not sin. And the question again rises, why would anyone even consider this? Well, we'll look at a couple verses in Hebrews, but our point is this, to show in the Word of God that Christ is impeccable. The impeccable Christ. Now, this word impeccable, I just looked in the Webster's Dictionary, and it was a definition, something along this line, saying one without fault. We think of Him as the one without fault. Impeccable. Spotless. No sin in Him. He took upon our sin upon the cross of Calvary. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. So when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know the work of Christ entails His death upon the cross, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension back to heaven. We think of His present ministry, of what He's doing now, that He ever liveth to make intercession for us there as He's in heaven now. And those of us that are His children, He is our great high priest. But yet, the work of Christ cannot be separated from the person of Christ. When we say the person of Christ, we're talking about His character, His deity. We think about His impeccability. It goes on. Who is this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came and died for the sin of the world? It's interesting to point out that this one that was born in the manger was born to die. Isn't that interesting? He was born to die. That was His purpose. It says in the scripture in Hebrews 10:7 that, lo, in the volume of the book it is written, I come to do Thy will, O God. He came to do the Father's perfect will. He was born to die. So this is the impeccable Christ that we'd like to look at. And again, it is a fundamental doctrine to point out that He did not sin nor could have sinned. He had no possibility of sin. He was impeccable. And the reason this is very important is because the one that was born in the manger, born of a virgin, if He had come into the world with a possibility of sin, although He didn't sin, then it would infringe upon other major doctrines and teachings in the Word of God. We see that even though well-meaning Christians trying to answer other hard questions would have to leave this one alone. Because why? We see that to answer a difficult question, which we'll bring up here shortly in a minute, we would be questioning other points of Scripture that are solid and steadfast and firm. So to come up with an answer for a difficult question, if it contradicts who the person of Christ is, then we need to go back and find another answer to our difficult questions. There are some things that are going to be very difficult for the human mind to understand, and of course, those that are not born again will not understand. The natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. But even among the believers, we have to be very careful when we speak about the blessed Savior. Now, here's an example. We've used this before. Might be hard for us to digest, but yet the Scripture does tell us that on like two sides of a coin, or like a railroad track, where you've got two rails, you can't take one rail away and expect the train to move. Now, the mind of God knows how to reconcile these two subjects. I cannot reconcile them in a complete manner, but I believe what God has said. God has said, on one hand, that man is responsible to repent. He's responsible to turn to God. But yet on the other side, the Word of God says that God is sovereign and that God knows all, and it speaks about those that the Father had given Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know on both sides of the coin it is true that, yes, God calls man to come. Whosoever will may come. Yet God is in control and He's sovereign. Now we need to believe God. They're both in the Scripture. Now let's not throw one subject out for the other and be unbalanced. Let's take what God has said and say, the Word of God has spoken. Again, let's go to Hebrews and bring up this difficult question I keep alluding to. Why would Christians even consider, and sometimes maybe it is not Christians that would say this, but just theological thinkers, but even legitimate Christians, why in Hebrews 2:18, and I'm saying this just to set the stage, would the Scripture say in 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him, as Christ, to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to succor or help them that are tempted. So here it speaks of how our Savior was made like unto His brethren, that He is a merciful and faithful high priest. It speaks about how He suffered being tempted. Now He's able to help us that are tempted. So now, what comes from this and across the page in chapter 4 when it speaks about how He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, these two verses once come up with a question and say, if He was tempted, and He is a faithful and merciful high priest, and He is truly compassionate with my circumstance, would He not have had to be exactly like me? Now, this is a legitimate question, but we have to come back to the fact that Christ is impeccable. He did no sin, He knew no sin, and in Him was no sin, as we referred to three different verses in the New Testament. So to answer this difficult question, we must not consider Christ in connection with sin in any fashion, with the exception of the fact that He came and paid for our sin, that He Himself did not nor could not sin. Now, perhaps someone would be out there saying, well, is it fair? Is it fair? Could He really be a faithful and merciful high priest for me if He had not actually been just like me? And say, like Adam, Adam came in the world without sin, but you know, he ended up having the capacity to sin. Well, let me answer it with this. Christ could not sin. And then let's back up and answer that question. Others may say, well, you tell me I'm born a sinner and I have a sin nature. I didn't ask to be born that way. Is that fair? Well, my friend, I would respond to you and say, was it fair that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for your sin and mine? Was it fair that the eternal Son of God left the realms of glory and humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Now, was this in the human realm of thinking, was this fair? By no means. This is the ultimate, from a human perspective, the ultimate injustice. But yet, God had his purposes. He had his divine purpose. That he would send his son, that God would be manifest in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, that he would die for the sin of the world. This is mind-boggling. So we cannot ask the question and charge God foolishly and say, well, God, why was I born a sinner? Just because Adam sinned, why should I be a sinner? My friend, accept the fact. The question is not, is it fair that you were born a sinner? The question is, look at the grace of God. Was it fair that he would die for you and for me? But by his love and his mercy and his long sufferance, we can say, once we've been born again, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, we have received far and above what we deserve. So perhaps I will just leave the question off there today. And just say, as we consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and see that he is impeccable, meaning that he could not sin, along with the fact that he did not sin, as our blessed Savior was walking this earth, let's just anticipate tomorrow looking at some of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ did not sin nor could not sin. He is the blessed Savior, the Lord of glory. Thank you for being with us today. Join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This is Mike Moody and Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles.